Hi, this is Dr. Pedro Ramirez, Editor-in-Chief of the International Journal of Gynecological Cancer. And today I have the great pleasure of having on the podcast Professor Ketalo Russo, who is not only a colleague, but also a dear friend. And I'm really, really glad that she has accepted our invitation to speak about this really important study published in our journal titled Updated Progression-Free Survival and Final Overall Survival with Maintenance Olaparib plus bevacizumab, according to clinical risk in patients with newly diagnosed advanced ovarian cancer in the phase 3 PAOLA-1 ENGOT-OV25 trial. Keta, it is such a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and thank you once again for accepting our invitation.
Pedro, it's my great pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So Keta, lots of questions that we have prepared, not only from the journal, but also from our fellows as well. And I wanted to start by just putting the prior data in context. And if you can tell us as to why you consider that this study was pertinent to conduct.
Yes, Pedro, you know, the context is the maintenance treatment of first-line ovarian cancer. And unfortunately, we know that after completion of platinum paclitaxel chemotherapy, more than 80% of our patients will experience a recurrence of disease within the first 3 years. We spend the last 10, 15 years in trying to evaluate if any kind of maintenance therapy could help in delaying progression and hopefully increase survival. We tried with chemo, but we failed, and we have only two maintenance treatments approved in ovarian cancer. One was bevacizumab, which has reported to increase PFS by about 4 months, and the other were PARP inhibitor that worked very well in BRCA mutant and HRD positive patients, less exciting the results in non-HRD patients, but still some benefit. So we have PARP, we have BEV. What we try to evaluate in PAOLA-1 trial if that the combination of PARP inhibitor plus bevacizumab was better than bevacizumab in terms of progression-free survival in stage 3-4 high-grade serous and high-grade endometrioid ovarian cancer patients that have received 6 cycles of platinum paclitaxel chemotherapy and that have not progressed during platinum. So patient in partial or complete response to platinum paclitaxel BEV were randomized at completion of treatment to proceed BEV alone or to add olaparib to bevacizumab with the intent to demonstrate an increase in progression-free survival.
Great. And you talked a little bit about the arms of the study. And some of the inclusion exclusion criteria. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And also, what were the primary and the secondary endpoints of the study?
The primary endpoint of the trial was progression-free survival. The secondary endpoints were overall survival for sure, but also toxicity, quality of life, time to second subsequent therapy, PFS2. And all these secondary endpoints are important because when you talk about first-line maintenance, you cannot provide a benefit in maintenance if you not take care also of the toxicity and the quality of life of the patient.
Yeah. So now this was a an updated progression-free survival and overall survival based on clinical risk and HRD status. What were the results of this study?
So the main endpoint on the intention to treat population for PAOLA-1 has reported a significant increase both in progression-free but also overall survival only in HRD-positive patients. I mean in patients with the deficiencies of homologous recombination. While unfortunately for the HRP population, the addition of olaparib to bevacizumab does not increase neither PFS nor OS with respect to bevacizumab alone. In this trial in particular, we tried to evaluate what was the benefit of the combo of olaparib plus BEV according to clinical risk factor. It is an exploratory analysis. The trial was not powered to detect with an analytical intent this patient, but we split the patient in risk group according to the most well-known risk factor. I mean, in low-risk population, we consider stage 3 patients without residual tumor. In higher risk population, we consider patients with stage 3 and residual tumor, stage 4, and patients receiving neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So according to this clinical characteristic, it was impressive because I did not expect the result. The benefit was reported in both the population, but when I look at the curves in the low-risk patient, at 5-year follow-up, 95% of patients, Pedro, were still alive when treated, HRD positive, treated with olaparib bevacizumab. And really, this is an unprecedented result. And the advantage of the combo was reported in both low risk and high risk population, but the benefit in the low risk was really impressive.
Really outstanding. And I wanted actually to get into some of the details of those results with some questions from our fellows in the journal. And one of the first question comes from Marta Xu in Taiwan. And he asks, the study indicates that HRD testing is crucial for decision-making in using olaparib and bevacizumab. Are there other genes like BRCA that have a higher likelihood of high genomic instability score?
We try to evaluate if HRR genes may substitute HRD testing in evaluating the patient that could get most benefit from this combo, but unfortunately we failed. What is evident is that HRD testing is able to capture plus 20% of patients that can get benefit of PARP inhibitor in combination with BEV with respect to HRR genes. Why? Because probably HRD is a post-transcriptional phenomenon, is a genomic scar, is something more, is not only related to the mutation of HRR genes. And that's the reason why when we try to compare HRR panel with HRD testing, the test is more effective in identifying the patient that can have benefit from olaparib plus BEV. But what we are doing in general, try to identify among HRR gene panel if there are some genes that are more similar to BRCA in identify genomic instability, but also familial implication for prevention. And in this context, probably RAD51 seems to be the best candidate, the more close to BRCA in identifying this patient.
Excellent. Now, Keta, this question comes from Elena Oleado, one of our fellows in Italy also. And she asks, according to the results of the study, do we have enough data to hopefully look at the fact that low-risk HRD patients can potentially be cured with maintenance therapy with olaparib plus bevacizumab?
I think so. When I saw this 95% of patients still alive at 5 years, these were stage 3 and 4 patients, non-selected also only for BRCA. We know that BRCA patients are the patient best prognosis, but here we have the global 50% of HRD patients, and 95% of them still alive at 5 years really suggests me that, as Elena hope, some of these patients may be considered cured.
Yeah, I mean those are really outstanding figures for such a prolonged survival. As a follow-up, Ilaria Capasso, also from Italy, she's asking, the combination of bevacizumab and olaparib has a greater benefit in the maintenance setting than either bevacizumab or olaparib alone in the low-risk population, probably because of a biological potentiation due to the combination of the two drugs. Although you did not observe different rates of hematologic toxicity in the two treatment arms, it is possible that the combination of two drugs could lead to combination of toxicities. Could you please comment on this and describe what are the most common adverse events in the administration of bevacizumab alone or olaparib alone?
This is a very important point because we have not to forget that we are in the setting of maintenance. Maintenance means that the patient has concluded this therapeutic journey with chemotherapy. And so when we offer maintenance, we have to take care of the toxicity and also of the quality of life of the patient. And when we combine olaparib plus bevacizumab with respect to all the other maintenance therapy that we can use in the clinical trial, the rate of discontinuation due to adverse events was about 20%, while it is 10-12% when we use a single agent alone. So it's obvious that there is a price to pay in toxicity, but I have to say it is a really manageable toxicity. The main side effect of bevacizumab, as we all know, are hypertension and proteinuria, the most frequent, while the toxicity profile of PARP inhibitor is mainly hematological toxicity, particularly in terms of anemia. And this is good because the two toxicity does not overlap so much, and that's the reason why the combo is really manageable.
Yeah. Now, this question comes from Elena Olearo, and she's asking if the benefit of the olaparib plus bevacizumab combination for HRD positive patients is present, irrespective of clinical risk, should we continue to aim for optimal cell reduction even at the price of aggressive debulking surgeries in HRD positive patients?
Pedro, absolutely yes. The answer is undoubtedly yes. All the data we have suggests that even in the era of PARP inhibitor and so biologically potent drug, the rule of surgery remains, and this is very strong. Also, the benefit of PARP inhibitor, also in the BRCA mute patient that are by definition the patient who get the higher benefit of PARP inhibitor, the rule of primary surgery is maintained. And the benefit of PARP seems to be even larger in patients who receive optimal cytoreduction. So for Elena, the answer is absolutely yes.
Great. Now, different patient population, the older population, the frail. This next question comes from Arthur Xu, and he's asking, some patients with ovarian cancer are elderly and frail, often not suitable for long, complex surgeries, often leading to suboptimal debulking. In these patients, does olaparib and bevacizumab have a benefit at all?
No, they have benefit. The subgroup analysis that we perform and publish in the International Journal were very clear. The benefit is higher for sure in lower risk, but also patients with higher risk, the patient that Arthur mentioned is in higher risk, still have a significant increase in progression-free and overall survival when treated with olaparib bevacizumab, but with respect to bevacizumab single agent. So I have no doubt that also for this patient, the combo should be suggested.
Okay. Back to Ilaria Capasso, she's asking, this study shows a benefit in terms of progression-free survival and overall survival in the HRD-positive population after administration of the combination of bevacizumab and olaparib. especially in the setting of low-risk patients. Unfortunately, a similar benefit is not observed in HRD-negative population. Do you think that in the near future, we will be able to target maintenance therapy of HRD-negative ovarian cancer patients based on their molecular signature? And if so, what do you think will be future research targets to be tested in this setting?
And yes, the HRP patients are the black side of the mule, unfortunately. These are the patients with the worst prognosis. And the median PFS for this patient when treated with only chemo is about 5 months. So most of these patients recur as platinum resistant. And I would like to see in the future clinical research in this patient guided by molecular signature. What we are exploring now is antibody drug conjugate in the setting of maintenance for this patient. We have two trials exploring antibody drug conjugate antitrop, for instance, as maintenance in the HRD negative setting, but we have not to forget that up to 35% of these patients present cyclin-1 overexpression. And for this patient, now we have target agent. So we are exploring also in this setting the combination of anti-cyclin plus bevacizumab. As you see, in this moment, we have at least three clinical trials specifically designed for the HRD negative patients, suggesting that this is really an unmet clinical need.
Great. Keta, this question comes from Beatriz Navarro in the Canary Islands, and she's asking, what should be currently the maintenance treatment trend for HRD negative patients, niraparib or bevacizumab?
Beatriz, this is a $1 million question. You know, we deal with this question since several years because of the inherent limitation of the trial design. Because unfortunately, in Paula One trial, we did not have a third arm with PARP inhibitor alone, and unfortunately, in Prima, but also in the next PARP that we will have, rucaparib, in the control arm, there was placebo and there was not an active control. So a direct comparison to answer your question, if niraparib or bevacizumab, we do not have a direct comparison, so it's impossible to answer your question. I will tell you what I usually do. I will rely not only on the test. If I look only at the test, and I see the benefit of niraparib at a longer follow-up. Antonio Gonzalez presented the last year 3.5-year follow-up for PRIMA trial. When I look at a longer follow-up, the curves in the HRD negative patient of niraparib and placebo tend to overlap, so suggesting that there is not a long-term benefit with niraparib in this population. So in this context, my preference is bevacizumab for most of my patients. But I do not rely only on the test to choose my treatment. I will give you an example. We have not to forget that the best predictor of PARP response is platinum response. If I have a patient with a complete pathological response after neoadjuvant chemotherapy, I mean CRS score 3. If I have a patient with a huge radiological response, if I have a patient with a favorable Kalim curve, all of the on CA 125 degrees, all these features suggest that this patient is high sensitive to platinum. So regardless what is the HRD results, I would offer PARP inhibitor for this patient. On the contrary, BEV is my preferred choice.
Yeah, excellent. Now, thank you for actually providing that example, because it does put it in perspective for us making a decision on these patients. This also next question comes from Beatriz Navarro, and she asks, Following this post hoc analysis, do you recommend treating all patients with HRD positive, low or high risk, with maintenance bevacizumab and olaparib in the first setting? And would you also treat them with neoadjuvant bevacizumab?
This is a very important question. So in this moment, PAOLA-1 is the only study available with overall survival data and overall survival advantage. So in this moment, I am more prone to use this combo in my patient because of overall survival data. But you know, at the end of the year in ESMO, probably we will have also the overall survival data of PRIMA. And if positive, then the competition restart again between the combo and the single agent. As regarding a new adjuvant bevacizumab, we have only two randomized small phase two trial using BEV in the new adjuvant setting. The trial are inconclusive and I would say negative with respect to the primary endpoint, which was an increase in cytoreduction rate for this patient, but at least they demonstrate that bevacizumab can be combined to chemo in the new adjuvant setting without impacting in side effect and toxicity of the patient. Personally, I do not use it. I prefer to use BEV at the first cycle after interval debulking surgery, but if Beatrice, you want to use, we do not know if it helps in increasing the cytoreduction rate, but at least we are confident that it does not increase the toxicity.
Great. And Keta, just a few more questions. One of them, obviously quite relevant also as well these days. And the question comes from multiple of our fellows saying, notice that approximately only 3% of patients in the study were Black or African-American. What can we do to increase the rate of accrual of this patient population in future studies?
This is a very, very important question. And we are asking also in all the meeting, Pedro, you know better than me, national and international meeting, how to increase the rate of this patient. And there are several solutions that we are exploring, including the solution to dedicate more time to this patient, facilitate the recruitment. Also, the language barrier is a problem. But in my opinion, we need, and this involves not only the Black and African patient, but more in general, we need probably to explore a different way to carry on clinical trial. This is a great lesson from the pandemic. During the pandemic, we did not oblige our patient to move to the hospital to receive oral drug or to move to the hospital to receive a CT scan every 8 weeks. We used the CT scan that the patient could perform closer to a hive, a house, and send only imaging. And this more relaxed, less bureaucratic way to perform a clinical trial, in my opinion, is something that we have to explore also beyond the pandemic. And this probably will help minority race to join clinical trial.
So true. Now, get a couple of questions and wanted to ask you, what do you see as the limitations of this study?
The main limitation of PAOLA study in general is we are missing the third arm, which is the arm of PARP inhibitor alone. So the relative contribution of BEV to PARP is an information that does not come from PAOLA. Specifically for this subgroup analysis, the main limitation is that these are non-preplanned exploratory subgroup analysis, so potentially they are only hypothesis generating. Still, and I answer with this question also to with this answer also to your last question, still, this research have impacted my clinical practice because now I am more confident when I'm speaking with my patient to provide reliable information. Patient wants to know what is my expectation of life. And now we have more information according to surgery and risk factor to explain to the patient what are the expectation of life and the expectation of benefit from this treatment.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Keita, once again for the opportunity to discuss this with you. Always learned so much, actually. Of course, obviously listening to you and the contributions you have made to our field with these really incredible landmark studies. So congratulations to you. Thank you for submitting this this manuscript to us. And we look forward to many conversations and discussions in the future with you as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro. It was a great pleasure. And many other paper will come to International Journal. Many other. Thank you so
Thank you.
much.
Thank you.